I guess I could maybe share with you for a few minutes a little bit about myself. I maybe could do that best by telling you what I'm not. I'm not a pastor's wife. I haven't graduated from college. I'm just an old lady, a grandma. But I love the Lord. I was raised in a religion, and when I was in my late 20s, I began to want to really, really know God. I used to sit at our kitchen table, and I would write letters to God when I was frustrated. My husband would be in the garage, and I'd be frustrated about something. So I would write letters to God, asking him to take care of things, type of thing, you know, just dictate to him what I wanted, why I was frustrated. I wished I had saved him. But in my search for God, I don't know how many of you understand this. Some people, like, have always been raised in a Christian atmosphere, and I didn't know how to find him. I often describe that as if someone would take you to Chicago, and they would say, I live in a White House by a fast food place. You might be able to find it, but it would take you quite a while. And a map helps. I wish someone had given me a map. I read scripture for 2 years. First, I had to figure out how to get a Bible. Then I read scripture for 2 years, trying to figure out how to get saved. At least you think I'm so holy. I usually smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day while I was doing that. But I just wanted to know God. I wanted to know him. And I'm not a studious person, so I guess it took me a while. And then when I did get saved, I was so excited about the Lord. If you can visualize a little puppy that has no manners whatsoever, that was me. I was in California, and I'd go up to people and tell them they were going to go to hell if they didn't get saved. You know, I just had no tact whatsoever. And I had been married for 10 years. My poor husband was evangelized. My husband is not saved yet. But anyway, the Lord has done a work in my life. And a lot of what I have learned has been hard learning. And it's been a desire of my heart to share, not because I think I've arrived or that I think I know everything, but a lot of what I have learned has been hard, hard learning. And I've come to the realization, though, that as I reflect upon the things the Lord has taught me over the years, I can see how he has guided me step by step by step. And he's brought me to the realization that prayer is the key to all that he can do in my life. Now, knowing that is important, but believing it is a whole other thing. You know, we can read our Bible, but without prayer, the Holy Spirit doesn't work in the same way. When we serve the Lord without prayer, we work in the flesh. And you can become pretty good at that. I'll share a little story about that later. But the two realizations that I came to was something that transformed my prayer life. Okay, I used to pray, but my prayers were focused on myself. And I didn't really have a pattern. You know, when my husband and I, we both exercise. And one day I was in the living room kind of area, and we were doing our exercise, and I was doing this. I was going like this, just exercising like this, you know. And my husband, who is an engineer, he came up to me and he said, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? That's the way I said it too. I said, I'm exercising. He said, well, what are you trying to do? I said, I don't know. I just, I'm exercising. He said, I said, well, I guess I'm trying to get muscles or be toned, you know. He said, well, you're not going to do it that way. I said, well, how am I supposed to do it? He said, go up like this and hold it. I said, that hurts. So that's the idea. Well, you know, you can apply things, and that's the way I'm visual. But prayer is like that. You can kind of go through your devotions. You go through your prayer list, put it aside, and it's done. But what have you accomplished? And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of sharing the things that you have taught me. I thank you for your willingness to use weak vessels. Father, I just ask that I be able to communicate to the ladies the things that you've taught me. And I pray that it would all redound to the glory of God. I pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Okay, on your sheets there, we're going to start here with a prayer, a purpose, and a plan. And this particular workshop, we're going to talk about the glory of God. The two results that I came to was the fact that learning from God's word that his goal through my praying is for him to be glorified, okay? Not for me to be happy. And a lot of times we won't admit that, you know, we'll say, well, no, I love God and I'm praying for him and I'm praying for other people. But I don't know if you're like me, but I found that some of my prayers for other people was because they frustrated me or they were a bad testimony or they shouldn't be that way. But it really was focused on me. The glory of God and the value of order. I happen to be married to an engineer. Woo. His mind is like this. And mine is... And I will never be like him because God didn't make me that way. But what he did do is he let me see the value of order. And the scripture says he uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Now, my sense of order is different than my husband's, but I have found that there is a value of order. But right now at this workshop, we're going to talk about the glory of God. It's good to examine where your focus is when you pray. I did that after a certain period of time. It's been a long time, but when my little girl was probably in junior high, she was lonely. She was a quieter person like her dad, and she went to a Christian school, but she was lonely. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to pray for her. Lord, Jennifer is so lonely. Show her how to make friends and be more outgoing. Now, that's a good prayer. Proverbs 27 talks about friendship and how important it is. But as I prayed and no friend came, I thought, why isn't God sending a friend to her? And if you're like me, I actually tried to make it happen. But that wasn't God's plan. This was God's plan. And he changed my praying. Lord, Jennifer is so lonely. Use this time to teach her that God is enough. Okay, there's nothing wrong with either one of the prayer, but this is a step further. This is more man's way. This is God's thoughts, his purposes. I did learn through the scripture in James where it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. That sounds good. It's the next phrase that's hard. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God had a plan for my little girl when she was young. He saw the whole picture. He would know that she needed to understand that God is enough. I see her in my mind as a little girl that needed a friend. God saw her as a busy mother with eight children. She needed to know that God was enough. And way back, he was beginning that foundation, that training little bit at a time, step by step. That's the way he teaches us. And he wants us to pray that way for ourselves and for others. And the whole purpose, I don't have a formal, it says redound to the glory of God, but in my brain, it's like a boomerang. God lays that on your heart, you pray, and it goes back to his glory. It's like, and that's his desire for us, that we pray and we live our lives to glorify God. We need to pray with a focus. I came across this quote, and it really struck me. In fact, you'll get a bookmark later with it. The glory of God, not the needs of men, is the highest purpose to answered prayer. I don't know if you're like me, but often my prayers have been more, sometimes I'll pray for someone else, and the Lord has really convicted me of this, where I want them to change so that I'll look like maybe a good mother or a good wife, or they shouldn't be that way. They're a Christian type of attitude. Now, I wouldn't come out and say that, but the truth is that's what's in my heart. Okay. For example, I can pray, Lord, she needs to change. She shouldn't use language like that. You know, she's not a very good testimony. She's very frustrating to be with. That's not God's heart. His desire is that that she change. In fact, if I can find this, I can't even think because I'm a little nervous here. But it's the idea that God would be glorified, not so that I won't be frustrated. And so we need to examine our prayer lives in the light of that. And the best way to examine them is with a manual. Okay? And you probably have already guessed that that manual is God's Word. There is simply no healthy prayer life apart from a consistent diet of the milk and meat of God's Word. But the one thing that's missing, I think, anyway, this was missing in my life, I would read God's Word, but it's meditation. Okay? It's not like you, okay, go find a scripture, this'll work, and pray that scripture, and it'll happen. You know, I mean, we wouldn't be that concise, but in essence, that's what we're thinking. Oh, find me a scripture that will work, so it will get fixed. But that's not God's purpose, okay? He wants Bible intake. He wants meditation. It's not really just studying the Bible. It's more studying God, having God's heart in our prayer life. There's a difference, okay? You can become very good at this, and I have done it, much to my shame. You know, find a verse, pray that verse, okay? And if you just pray it, it'll work, you know? That's missing the whole purpose of change in your life, genuine change from the inside out, where people don't see Christ, where you change and you become, you have the mind of Christ. That doesn't happen overnight. How many of you take vitamins or some type of supplement? Okay. Now, how many of you can stand up and tell me exactly how that works in your body? No takers? Well, that's actually the same thing is true here. I can't tell you how it works, but I can tell you it does work, and I'll give you an example. I mentioned to you my husband is not a believer. I've been a believer for 42 years, and I'm still praying for him. He loves me to pieces. He's so good. In fact, he helps me sometimes with the prayer notebooks. But that hasn't always been. Okay, when I first got saved, not only was like an unruly puppy, I was into evangelism in my home. I would put tracks in my husband's shave kit. I would stick them around just in case he wanted to read them. You know, that type of thing. And I thought, oh, that's not working. I know. I need a meek and quiet spirit. The scripture says if you have a meek and quiet spirit, then your husband will get saved. So I commenced to get me a meek and quiet spirit. And so I got some books and read and studied hard. And on the outside, I was doing not too bad. You know, we started out there and I would even teach women. I would have Bible studies. We'd go through a book and you need to have a meek and quiet spirit. Well, God searched me and he knows me and he tried me and he saw a wicked way in me. It was a meek and quiet spirit that I had developed and it wasn't working. So God moved me to Pennsylvania for 1 year. He moved me there to break me. There was absolutely no reason for us to move there. In fact, the company took my husband and all his stuff, or moved the company there. All his stuff stayed back there. They had to send it for a year. And one day, my husband, who's very quiet, unassuming, said, basically, you do not have a meek and quiet spirit. I don't know exactly what he said, but it was enough to make me go upstairs and cry so bad that my face swelled. My whole face was swollen. Because I thought, oh no, he'll never get saved because I don't have a meek and quiet spirit. Of course, that kind of sounds like I'm the savior. It's not true. So God broke me big time. And then we began to build. And actually, that's when my prayer life changed, one of those times. The same thing with the children. I learned that I can't make things happen. And when I do, even though outwardly I say, oh, well, you know, I just prayed. Inside, I was like, yeah, done pretty good. But God sees our hearts, and he doesn't want that to happen for us. So it's really important that we pray with a clean heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll be transparent with you. And you always think, why is she up there? But I remember even back when I was, you know, a polished Christian, so to speak, and teaching Sunday school class. And I remember we had a kind of a teaching from Moody Press. It was teaching with results. It was going to teach you how to be a better Sunday school teacher. And so I sat down and took it, you know. Of course, I was busy, so I kind of copied some of the answers from someone else, and no one really knew, and it wasn't graded, and it didn't really matter, but God knew, and it blocked my prayer life. And I still remember thinking everything was okay, but realizing it wasn't. And God kept surfacing that, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but I thought, it's no big deal. Nobody knows about it, and it doesn't really matter. To make a long story short, I had to go to my pastor, and I had to confess the fact that I cheated as an adult lady. I cheated. And he was a very wise pastor. He said, well, you could take it over again. So I did. I had to take my allowance that I get and go through the whole thing again because it was important to me to have a clean heart. But at that time, it was so I could get my prayers answered. So we still had a long way to go. And God began to build in different areas of my life. So it's important that you let God search you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Need to examine your relationship with the Lord. Are you in obedience in every area of your life? Your relationship with people, are they right And ladies, as ladies, we have a tendency to say, well, you know, she shouldn't have done that type of thing. So we need to let God examine our hearts. Your heart, is it pure? And next, we need to pray with a believing heart. Prayer is the key to all that God can do in your life. Now, knowing that is important. But doing it in spite of a hectic schedule shows that you really do believe. So I have a question for you. Do you know? Or do you, whoops, I don't know what happened there, but do you believe? It's important that we pray with a purpose and a plan. I have someone here that has a card they can send out, maybe give out here. I want you to just hang on that card with that card for a little bit. Now, the next session, we're going to talk about the value of order. Now, some of you, order comes natural. How many of you are kind of orderly? You like things in their place, and I have a daughter-in-law like that. I've been with her for 5 days, and I'm amazed. She puts everything away. It's all like that. Mine is not that way. Okay? And so what God did for me was, not only do I have a husband that's an engineer, that I saw the value of order, and I would try to obey him. I would try to put the cap on the toothpaste, et cetera, et cetera. And that was not natural for him, for me. For him, he enjoyed that. He didn't like it messy. For me, it's like, whatever, you're going to have to take it off again. And the other thing he did, when I prayed, I began to pray, and I began to ask God. I say, Lord, I want to be that way, but I just, like, I can't do it. I just, no matter how hard I try, you know, my sense of trying, just as soon as I would think, oh, you do pretty good, my husband would say, how come you didn't? And I'd look at this. But what he did was, he put me in a library. Now, I am not library material. I worked with ladies with PhDs and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh. But he put me in the library. And it was fascinating to me. Someone could come in and they would ask for a book. I could look it up on the computer. I could walk over there and go right to the shelf. Ah, the book was there and I could find it. And so he showed me the value of order. And then he showed me that he was able to do that which I couldn't do. Okay? My prayer notebook is different from Melinda's. My prayer notebook is different from a lot of people's. But it makes sense to me. It's orderly, but it's orderly for me. Mine, that's why this prayer notebook works. They're all different. I don't try to make myself, you know, think like an engineer. It's not going to happen, ladies. But God made me just the way he wanted me to be made. I'm almost 74, and I did not understand or learn this until I was in my 60s. It's very, very valuable that you do not wish you were like someone else. Your only desire is that you would be like Christ. And you would stop arguing with God about, why did you make me this way? I hate myself. I don't like it when I do this. And God has brought me full force in a lot of this. It's been a slow step by step by step. God does not like answer prayer where you just cross it off your list. Not in the area of growth. My desire to be more orderly or to let God use me is not so, okay, God, we'll do this. It's so, yes, I am weak. He is strong. If this is what he chooses to glorify himself through my life, then yes, that's what I want. But it didn't happen overnight. It was step by step. And the difference in my life was scripture. You were just given a little card here, okay? This is recent. He's done this in many different ways, but this is recent. I put this together in September. Okay, I always put together a prayer list. And the Lord laid on my heart that I needed to have his word in my heart. And I thought, well, you know, if I just try to memorize scripture, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go strong. I'm going to really work at it. And after about a month or so, it's going to stop. It's not going to happen. That's not a natural for me. So what I did, I didn't try to memorize scripture. I just prayed. And these are prayer prompters, okay? I didn't sit here and like, okay, show me the wisdom of memorizing scripture. You know, it was just a prayer prompter. So I would ask, I said, just work in my life, Lord, and show me the wisdom of this, why it's important. I've had teaching, but I need to, like, let it digest. I need to believe it, okay? Teach me the value of memorizing scripture. He would orchestrate a whole circumstance for me, and I'd learn that way. Give me the desire and motivation. Do you notice all these prayers point to where? The glory of God. Not so I can say I've hid his word in my heart and I memorized scripture. Okay? And so he did different things. First he let me fail. I was discipling or doing a Bible study with a lady, and out of my mouth, I know where it came from, but I said, you know what, Debbie? We ought to memorize the scripture for each one of these chapters. She said, oh, that's a good idea. I thought, why did I say that? Because one was in Isaiah, one was in Joel, and it was just like, there's no continuity. And so we did. She did wonderful. I failed. I just got so mixed up. I thought, I can never do this. I just can't do this. But I kept praying. I kept praying. And then another lady, she was having trouble. She's an older single. She wants to be married. And she didn't feel real good about herself. I said, you need to memorize Psalm 139. Out of my mouth again, I thought, I guess I do too. And so we're in the midst of that. It's not easy when you're older to memorize scripture. Your short-term memory isn't so good. How many of you have trouble memorizing scripture? It's really hard for you. Some of you, it's not hard. And I'm not a very conventional speaker here, but I want to show you something. This is something God taught me, and this is the way God teaches me. One day, I was making my bed, okay? These pillows aren't in very good shape. And you can put a pillow in like this, and it's not too hard. It goes in. And this is a pillow like I have. And when you put this pillow in, it's tight. It just, oh. Okay, you finally get it in. This isn't working as well as the one I have. But I thought, you know what? That's what's happening. When I just try to memorize scripture because someone's going to listen to me the next day, it's like this pillow that will come. I don't retain it in my long memory, so it comes right out, just like that. But if I do a little bit each day for like 3 weeks, and I just walk and repeat and repeat and repeat. This one comes out easy, but I was doing that, and I thought, that's it, it'll stay. And so I began to memorize scripture. Now, I don't memorize books of scripture or anything, but I began to memorize Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy presence? Or whither shall I go from thy presence? Or whither shall I Whither shall I go from thy presence? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me, and even there thy hand shall hold me, and thy right hand shall guide me. And I thought about that. There's more scripture to that, but I thought about, oh, he cares about me. And it began to permeate inside of me. Instead of bawling myself out and saying, you shouldn't think that way about yourself, it just began to become part of me. And it was like, makes you feel like a little girl skipping, even though you're old, that my God loves me. He says in his word, how precious are my thoughts towards you. It's an idea that he's not mad at me. He's not disgusted with the way I am. He loves me. He made me and he fashioned me exactly the way he wanted me to be for the works that he has for me to do. They're unique. And all he wants of me is to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God for his reasonable service. He wants to teach me not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. He wants me to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in my time of need. And when you have that concept of how God loves you, it isn't just, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I don't mean that irreverently. But it's a believing that God loves you and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And perhaps you know that, but there's a whole lot of people out there that don't believe that. And God is not able to work in their lives the way he wants to work because of that. Their focus is wrong. Their focus is not on God's glory. Their focus is on themselves. Even if they have they say, well, you know, I'm a nobody type of thing. You're not a nobody. Your substance was not hid from him when you were made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. His eyes did see you when you were being formed. And everything that he made about you, he did for a purpose. You know, as I was even growing as a Christian, I always thought, I'd kind of laugh. I said, he left a few parts on the workbench when he made me. No, he didn't. He made your weaknesses and he made your strengths. And both of them need to be under God's power. So that he has works for you to accomplish in a unique way, that when you stand before God, That's what will glorify God. And we need to pray that way for ourselves, but we also need to pray that way for our family. In the next session, you're going to... I'm not watching my time very well here. Okay. In the next session, we're going to talk a little bit about this, the prayer notebook. But a lot of what I pray... Like when I pray for others, and I'm not gifted with words, so sometimes I write things out, but let me share this with you. Help me to seek the good for others by your grace, overlooking their faults and irritations. Now, no one irritates you ever, right? Let me simply welcome them into my heart with the purpose of seeing God glorified in their lives. Not praying so they'll change, so you're not frustrated anymore. Not praying that even your children will change, so you're not embarrassed anymore. You might not say that, but underneath. The purpose of our prayer is to bring glory to God. And God has to teach you that way. In Psalm 25, it talks a lot about what man is he that feareth the Lord, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He says, the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. And I just get kind of, I have to smile sometimes because I see myself, I've seen God over and over again orchestrate a circumstance like at Walmart, and the people involved in it are clueless. But to me, it's a whole classroom. You know, he's teaching me. He's teaching me over and over again to depend upon him, to respond in a certain way. All I need to do is to obey and to continue to pray and ask. Empower me to live out my purpose to honor and glorify you. Help me to use my talents and my spiritual gifting, along with my personality, to accomplish the works that you've ordained for me to do. Okay? And when you pray for your friends, and you pray for your husbands, and you pray for your children, and you pray for maybe if you're a pastor's wife, your thought process has to be, okay, I want them to change so that God uses them, so that God is glorified in their lives. I don't want them to change to satisfy my whims. And that's pretty blunt, but it's the truth. And I've walked through my house saying, oh, I wish they'd get their act together type of thing. But who do I want? Why do I want them to do that? So that I'm not irritated. I have no focus on God. And you know what, ladies? You can't change yourself. You can't do it. You can have all the book learning you want. You can pray with others, but you have to let God do a work in your heart, okay? And you have to recognize he's doing that work. But not only does he have to do a work in your heart, you have to let him do a work in other people's heart. Women, we can be very opinionated. And as Christians, we can talk with one another about others and say, you know, they have a problem with that, and et cetera, et cetera. And you would be lying if you aren't all guilty of that at some time. But only God can change your heart to pray, to glorify him. You can't do it. Even if you could teach it, you can't do it. It has to be the Spirit of God working in you. And he knows exactly how to accomplish that. Okay? Even in my scripture memory, which I got a little nervous about, but he knew, he said, you know, I picture God up there. Well, we'll just do this. This will work. This will work. I have a plan. And the same plan would not work for someone else. But the goal is the same, to conform us to the image of his son. even my prayer life. My prayer life is, this looks like a lot, but it's not, because I just pray daily on certain things. But biblical change in my life. Deepen my understanding of your word. Unleash your transforming power into my life. Create within me a greater hunger for your word and for you. You can't work it up. It has to be the Spirit of God that creates that hunger in you, creates that change in you. And you may know that, but sometimes our attitude towards other people is, and sometimes towards our husbands, you know, isn't right. Because we're not seeking God's glory. And I'm different than you, so I don't know how God will work in your life, but you know what? I know His way will be perfect. And He'll lead you in a path that will glorify Him. And it'll be, you'll know it's Him. Create in me a humble spirit. Don't let my pride keep me from growing spiritually and experiencing your transformation. Sometimes I go to God and I'll say, you know what, I'm not going to come to you and pray and ask you to help me not be proud. I'm going to come to you, and you already know this, I'm going to be proud. But please, could you just give me a humbleness of mind, a Christ-like mind? I don't want to be to the point where you have to humiliate me. Work in me. I'm willing to let you do whatever you need to do. Sometimes for me, it's hard. It's hard for me with my husband. My husband's so good to me. He's so good. But sometimes I get so frustrated because I just want to shake him. Don't you listen? Why don't you listen? But for whatever purpose, God is glorified in the waiting time. He's letting the trying of my faith work patience, and He's letting it have its perfect work in my life. I don't dictate to God how He's going to answer my prayer. I just obey. It's interesting. God has gone from, like, just another example, I would pray for my husband. I think, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we just read that Bible, he'd read his Bible, he'd get saved. And so I'd learned not to dictate to God exactly how things were done. So I would just pray. And have any of you ever had a secret sister in your church? Like a secret pal? Well, we had that in our church. And my one friend gave me, I didn't know at the time, but she gave me a blessing box. This was not even a promise box. It was a blessing box. And it had scripture, you know, a little card with scripture on it. So I brought it home and I said, honey, I said, could we read one of these at a meal? He said, nah, that's okay, sure. So we sat down and, you know, I get that card out, read it. And his engineer mind would say, well, what book is that in? Who wrote it? Etc. And anyway, that was 20 years ago. Now we read chapters. That's how small God started. Now we read chapters. Is he saved? No. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Time-wise, my timetable would have been many years ago. But for whatever reason, there's a trying of my faith, and it's working patience. And because of God's grace, and grace alone, I am letting God have his perfect work in my life there. I don't have an answer. I can't make it happen. Neither do you. But I would exhort you to pray, to have the Spirit of God teach you how to pray, and to let him build your prayer life. Not so you can say you're a good prayer warrior, but so God can be glorified in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time to share with the ladies. I thank you for their attentiveness and You know me, Father. Just take all that was said and help them glean from it. But most of all, I pray they would leave having learned. And my definition of that is that they would put into practice and put in their hearts a desire to see you glorified. I pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. In the next session, there's, let's see, I don't think I have a sample here. In the, you'll get, in the next session, you'll get one of these. This is a prayer notebook sample I put together. It's not so overwhelming as that. And we're going to kind of work through the instruction booklet. I'm a visual person. I thought it might help you just to see. You can do this on your own, but help you see exactly different ways that you can put together your prayer notebook. When you, if this works for you, it's a tool that I basically put together. The reason being, if I gave you a sheet of paper and I told you to do all this, you would never do it. It takes too long. You wouldn't. And so I just put together samples and just a basis for you to get started. But the key to all of it, again, is to go to God. And we're going to learn about praying about your praying. That's the whole basis. That's the key. You don't do anything with a notebook at first. You pray about your praying for quite a while. And then you let God build, not you. Okay. Thank you for your attentiveness. 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 Attentiveness.